Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zuffa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
It is Thursday night, and this is Cage Zombies Radio. As always, my name is Matthew. Well, my name's always been Matthew, I guess, but with me is my co-host Spencer, and joining us tonight, we have a special guest co-host, one of the royal ladies of MMA, from Barwer Barner from Cage Fire Radio, came on here tonight to join us for this ladies' night, Miss Kari Richardson. So we're ready to go for a great night. Spencer, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Matthew. I'm kind of mad at you, though. Folks, if you don't know this already, Matthew has covered World Series of Fighting this weekend. As soon as I saw that post, I kind of got upset a little bit.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, I didn't ask to be the best. It just kind of happened. So, but anyway, enough about me.
You sound like Ron Burgundy.
I gotta say, I pretty much do have a swag of Ron Burgundy. So. Anyways, so Kari, thank you for joining us tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on. I'm very excited to be on the show with you guys tonight.
We do have a great show in store, phenomenal lineup. We're going to start off here just in a couple minutes. We're going to jump in with Amber Stotzenberger, the Apex Predator. Got a big fight coming up next month, I believe on November 23rd, so for Extreme Knockouts, I think. After that, we're going to go with Cheyenne, the Warrior Princess Felicimus out of Tampa, Florida, have been very active since her debut like 2-3 months ago, so fought 4 times already. And then we're going to jump in with Delaney Los Grabioan. Spencer, I swear, one more time having Delaney on the show, man, we're going to have to start calling her a host.
She can take my spot. It'll be the Matthew and Delaney.
She's a regular on here, and we love having her. She's coming off of a very big win, and I believe already has a fight announcement coming up, so looking forward to hearing from her. And then we're going to close out with Jordan, the Ninja Princess, Nicole Gaza, which is just another phenomenal fighter out of the Texas area. Just got back from a big training out in, I believe, Arizona, where she's been for a couple weeks. So it's going to be a very exciting night. And then we'll just kind of have about a half an hour, maybe some open time, and just talk some of the events that went down over this last week. And we'll just go from there. So what's going to happen now? First of all, before we jump in with our guests, let's give some shout-outs to our sponsors. I will do that since Spencer always declines on me. So our sponsors, Intimidation Clothing, Crossroader Clothing, Game Changer Clothing, BrawlBase.com, DracoSports.com, ProAmBelts.com, MachoFighter.com, GatorMMA.com, and, of course, Jax Media Canada. I want to give a quick special shout-out to Jax Media Canada because they actually recently made a logo for my new radio show, which I'm doing with a buddy at University of South Florida. I reached out to them, and Carl kind of hooked me up, and they hooked me and my buddy up with a really cool logo for our show. So Jax Media Canada is where to go to get any type of web design, logo designs, graphic designs, anything like that you want done. You want to go to Jax Media Canada. They revamped the entire MMA Madhouse website, and we can't thank them enough for all that they're doing for us. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and get our first guest ready to go. I know that she was really excited to come on the show, when I was talking to her throughout the week and stuff and really wanted to make it work. We had to kind of fix or move around a couple time slots to get her on here, but we're very excited to have her. So let me go ahead and jump behind the scenes and get that done, and you guys just take it away for a minute or two.
All righty, Carter. We have control right here. Normally, this is the point where I start rambling on and everybody stops listening, but we have a lot to talk about tonight. I mean, we had two great events in Bellator 104, UFC 166 last weekend. We have, I think, five or six events coming up this weekend. But before Matthew comes on, talk a little bit about Amber. She is 3-1 professional fighting out of Texas. She's actually won her last three fights. She opened her career with a loss. That was to Paige VanZant. Recently got an armbar victory against Summer Arthurton. Ashley Allen, she beat by decision, and she beat Glenna Avila by decision as well, and that was her last fight at Dakota Fighting Championship 15. We're happy to have Amber on. It'll be a good interview. What do you think, Kari?
I completely agree, and I know that there's one thing I really want to ask her about. I noticed that she's had quite a few canceled bouts, and I want to know, as a fighter, you know, how you handle that. That's one thing I'm excited to talk to her about, for one.
All right, well, I think we have Amber.
Yep. Yeah, we do have Amber Stotzenberger live and ready to go. So, Amber, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you've been pretty busy. You've had kind of some fights, you know, a lot of fights scheduled and some have fallen through, but you got a big fight coming up here in a couple weeks, so let's jump right into that. And how are you doing preparing for that fight?
I've been going to three different gyms. I'm training 2 to 3 times a day, pretty much every day. My main gym is Moeller MMA, so I do most of my groundwork there as well as some sparring.
How do you break up your training? So which gyms are you going to for which aspect of your training?
I go to the MMA Pro Center, and I mainly go there to work my stand-ups. I have privates over there that I do with my coach, and then I go to Fitness Fight Factory, which is Johnny Bedford's gym, and I just go there because a lot of girls do come there to spar each other, so I mainly go there Thursday night, and then at Moeller's, I pretty much do everything there.
That's pretty cool. Now, what do you know about your opponent? Do you know a lot about her? Seen any film on her? Are you even actually, let me back that up, are you even a fighter that watches film on the opponents, or do you leave that to your coaches?
Both. I watch them. They'll watch as well. I've never seen any footage of her, but I know who she is, and I know what gym she trains at. We've talked before as well.
Right on. Now this is going to be your first time fighting for this promotion. Or no, it's not. I'm sorry. It's your second time fighting for this promotion.
Right.
You fought Ashley Allen back at XKO 18. My apologies. What is your opinion of this promotion? Obviously, I'm guessing you like him pretty well by going back another time.
Right, I do. They take really good care of their local fighters. They promote us pretty well. I mean, that's why I'm going back.
Right on. Now this is a pretty big fight card right out in Texas. I mean, you're based out of Texas, so is it nice to be able to kind of fight close to home? Are you gonna be able to have a lot of friends and family come out to the fight?
Yeah, I like fighting at home because I get to cut weight in my house, you know, or you know, just at a nearby gym that I don't have to. I guess adjust. Sometimes I go to North Dakota, which I love going there to fight for them. But it's sometimes hard to cut weight because I don't have a gym that I could go to, or it just makes it a little bit difficult. So I prefer to fight at home. And then, yeah, my family, I'm going to fight in North Texas at Arlington. I live in Dallas, so it's about 45 minutes away. And all my family's from South Texas, but they all make a trip up here every time.
Well, it's nice to have that support. I want to hop back to your training just a little bit. Whenever you go into a fight and you don't really know that much about your opponent, you said, you know, you're training 2 to 3 times a day, you're doing some groundwork and some sparring, but what do you prefer to focus on? Like, how do you, when you enter the cage, like, how do you want the fight to go?
I would just love to finish the fight. With her, I know she originally comes from a stand-up school, and she trains at two different gyms as well, one's for ground, one's for stand-up, of course. But, I mean, she does it all, so, I mean, I'm prepared to go whichever way. I would say my base is or was jiu-jitsu, but I'm feeling pretty confident with my stand-up. I've been working it a lot, as well as my wrestling.
Now, are you the type of fighter to, if your opponent has a specific aspect of the game that they're better at, are you the type to want to exploit maybe something that they're weaker at or prove that you're better in all aspects?
Well, of course I want to prove that I'm better in all aspects, and that's where the win would come in. But, I mean, if I could find her weaknesses, I would exploit them because that's what's going to help get me the win.
So now you've fought some big names in women's MMA, and I mean, there's kind of like this first generation of women's MMA stars that, you know, have gotten these 15, 20 fights, but now there's this generation of female ladies, yourself included, that are fastly rising stars, some big names, and kind of doing damage all over the place. Where do you see the growth of women's MMA going with more and more levels of great fighters rising up, such as yourself?
I think there's going to be more competition. It's going to be harder to, you know, be number one. But I do see rising stars. I fought Tisa Torres as an amateur, and I think she's a great fighter, and she's rising up there very quickly. We both turned pro around the same time. And then, of course, there's, like, that first generation that you were talking about. They're still out there.
Yeah. Actually, I want to ask, how did that fight with Tisa Torres come about? That was at ABC down here, and it was down in South Florida. I know that I've covered a couple of their events, but being out of Texas yourself, and how did that fight come about, and how did you get booked by ABC?
They had contacted my manager, the guy who was my manager at the time, and they offered me a fight to fighter. I think she was ranked. I think at the time she was ranked number two for amateurs, 115. I was ranked number three, so they just thought it'd be a good match. And I think her winning that made her number one. And then, I mean, they're a good promotion. I enjoyed fighting in Florida.
One thing I noticed whenever I was doing a little bit of research on you is you've had quite a few canceled bouts, which I'm sure as a fighter becomes aggravating after a while. Specifically, I noticed that your fight with Jordan Gaza got a little bit of publicity. What did you really think about that?
Honestly, I was expecting her to pull out because she's been doing that for a while. I mean, not just with me, but with other fighters as well. So, I mean, I wasn't surprised that it happened. But I think that the opponent that they gave me, which was Glenna Avila, I think she was a much stronger and more skilled opponent. I mean, I enjoyed that match.
Well, at least you got a fight out of it that you, like you said, enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
So now, as a rising star and fighting for some good promotions, you know, with these large scale promotions such as, like, you know, Bellator recently dropping their female fighters and UFC just now signing some female fighters and trying to get on board with women's MMA, which I really think they're just trying to ride the Ronda Rousey train, and the moment something happens there, I think they're kind of abandon women's MMA. I really don't think that they have the true passion and concern for the sport of women's MMA, but other promotions such as, that's me going off on a tangent, I apologize, but my question is like, there's other promotions out there like Invicta and the XFC, and even CFA down in Miami. You've got other great promotions. Legacy is one. There's great promotions out there that are doing amazing things for women's MMA. As a female fighter, how do you feel that's going to help the future of the sport with the promotions that are doing it the right way compared to somebody like the UFC who's kind of just riding the hype train?
I mean, it's going to keep us going for a while. I mean, the good thing about Invicta is it's specifically for females, and so every few months there's always female bouts happening. So it's going to keep, you know, our names out there. I mean, if, you know, like, I'm not an Invicta, but, I mean, there is a hype right now for female fighters, and just about every promotion wants at least one bout you know, on their card of females. So, I mean, that's what happened with XKO. They, back when I fought in March, me and Ashley were their first female match for that card, well, for that promotion ever. So, I mean, it's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that's real cool that that promotion is doing that and kind of, you know, steamrolling their women's division around a great young fighter such as yourself, you know, 3-1 in your pro career so far, with a lot of great fights ahead of you, a lot of great, still a long career ahead, and it's cool that there's a kind of, you know, more of a regional promotion that's kind of recognizing that talent and getting on board with you and supporting you. Now, this upcoming fight, you know, just a few weeks out, when is it that you kind of really start cutting weight and getting serious about your weight cut?
Right now I'm pretty serious about what I eat. I'm not really watching my portions so much, but usually it's 3 weeks out from weigh-ins that I'll start to limit my portions, but I'll eat like 5-6 times a day still. I'm cautious with my carbohydrates. Make sure, like right now I'm drinking a gallon of water a day. Next week I'll probably push it to a gallon and a half, and then the fight week I'll go back to a gallon.
Wow, that's a lot of water intake. Now, how much of a weight cut do you usually make? Is it extensive, or is it just kind of like, is it something that really you push your body to, or is it kind of an easy weight cut?
For the most part, it's easy throughout the week. Usually, I usually fight at 115, and I'll usually wake up at 119 pounds the day of weigh-ins, and so I either go to the sauna or do a hot bath, and I think that's the hard part is sitting in that bathtub for a few hours. It wears you out.
Yeah, man. Fortunately for myself, I will never put myself through it. I'm not nearly warrior enough to do that, so I'm much respect for yourself and everybody else who does go through through extensive and really intense weight cuts for this stuff. It's true dedication. I could not do it.
Yeah, thanks. I think that's the hardest part about fighting is the weight cut.
Right.
So, honestly, usually I take it out on my opponents, and that's part of my motivation.
Right. That's awesome. Now, that's a good point, though, when you say, like, and that is for most fighters, and I mean, I think probably all across the sport, the most grueling part about it is cutting weight. And when you know, when you as a fighter, when you agree to a fight and you say, okay, I'm fighting at 115, I need to make 115 to uphold my end of the deal, to live up to my word, and to do what I'm supposed to do. How frustrating is it for you to go out there to do yourself, push your body through all that, and then when you step on that scale at 115? You know, and then your opponent steps on there and they're like 118 or they're over or something. I mean, how frustrating is that for you as a fighter?
It's very frustrating. I mean, it's unprofessional of them. I mean, you signed a contract saying that you would make weight and then the other person just doesn't do it. And either they have to cut and that makes it harder for them, or you could take some of their purse usually. I mean, it just depends on the promotion, or the fight just might not happen. I mean, I've had one fight as an amateur. I don't think that promotion's around anymore. It was here in Texas. They told me I was fighting at one weight, and they told her a different weight that we had agreed on. And, I mean, so I weighed in. It was a catch weight at 130, and then she weighed in at 165 pounds, and we were just like, whoa.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that was the promotion's fault. But, I mean, it's very frustrating because you train so hard for it.
Yeah, most definitely. It is, as you said, it is highly unprofessional and very disrespectful to the opponent as well as the promotion and most importantly, the fans. You know, fans want to see a fight. They pay to see these fights, and then, unfortunately, that happens from time to time where fighters can't live up to what they were supposed to. So, but it's good to know that, you know, there's fighters out there such as yourself that do value that and understand how important that is. When you say you're going to meet a weight and fight at a weight, that you come out there and you're on that weight.
Right.
Well, listen, Amber, I do appreciate you joining us tonight. I know we were going back and forth, and really, it was really important that you be a part of the show. You know, big fans of you here, and looking forward to seeing a great outcome from your XKO20 fight. Before we let you go, any type of you know, sponsors or where people can find you on social media, we'd love for you to be able to go ahead and give those shout-outs.
Yeah, if anybody wants to follow me on Twitter, it's AmberStotz, Amber and then STAUTZ. So if you want to give me a follow, that would be great. And then as far as sponsors go, I have a little bit of a list. Apple to Go has been there for me since my first, well, my last amateur bout up until now. So AmateurGo.com, Gamma Labs, Cobranol, Tussle, my manager at Cage Fighter 360, he's been really great to me. He's the one that helps me get all these fights. M. King Construction, Core Physical Medicine, and Mouthpiece Guy, who does my custom mouth guards, and then the wonderful I Am Fritz Fowler. And I also want to thank my gyms, Muller MMA, Fitness Fight Factory, and Pro MMA Center.
Right on. Very awesome. Best of luck to you there on November 23rd, Amber. I'll be following along and looking forward to seeing, seeing, you know, some type of first-round finish, maybe like a first-round knockout or something. Would be pretty sweet. So,
yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Best of luck to you, Amber. We'll hopefully talk soon, and we'll hear great things from you.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem. You have a good night.
You too.
The Apex Predator. I mean, with a name like that, it says all you need to know, right? I mean, somebody comes to me and says, you know, this chick's the Apex Predator. She wants to try and fight you. I'm going to be like, no, I'm good, man. here's my name. Here's my man card. Go ahead and take it. I'm not getting my ass pulled by this girl. So, just phenomenal fighter. Just going to see big, big things from her coming in the future. And like I said, she's kind of like one of the lead names in this like second wave of great female fighters that are coming out. So definitely a fighter to watch and keep your eyes on, and look forward to seeing great things from.
Yeah, hopefully some more women will actually step up and fight her, not back out.
Yeah, man, it's a shame when this stuff happens. You know, I'm looking at kind of the records and stuff for many of our guests tonight and our guests on a normal basis, especially when they're young fighters, you see a lot of that, man. And it's unfortunate when that happens, you know, and there's different circumstances that come about, you know, for whatever causes that stuff to happen. But it's unfortunate when it does, because, you know, sometimes you see a matchup and you're like, wow, man, that could be a really good fight. And unfortunately that fight doesn't happen and stuff. So, but I don't know. I feel like she's going to really take it to her opponent here on November 23rd.
Yeah, I've definitely learned while during covering events for Ohio, that's a big fear for local promotions, a fight that everybody's looking forward to, and for some reason or another it just falls through. It definitely is a loss for the fans, if not just for the fighters.
Yeah, exactly right, man. So we talk real quick. I was at the Pier 6 Boxing event last Friday night. It feels like it was so long ago, you know. It's like the last event I was at, it feels like it was so long ago because it was Friday night. And, you know, we do this, like, you know, whenever we talk about Bellator and every week, and it's like, wow, we just, you know, our show airs the night before Bellator. So by the time Thursday comes back around, you know, those events are kind of old news. Everybody's talked about them. I feel like we got to hold on to it, and we got all the stuff that builds up, because airing on Thursday nights and you've got this weekend full of MMA all the time, then by the time the show comes back around, it's like, man, we got so much to talk about. So I'm going to talk real quick about that boxing event, and then I'm going to go ahead and get our next guest ready to go. But it was a good night of boxing, my first boxing experience, actually, so it was a little different. But it was kind of cool to see boxers, real fights, you know, not the garbage that you see on TV, which I would bet money on is hardly real anymore. I really feel like top level boxing has become so fake and generic that it's just there's no reality to it. But great live local boxing, and it was cool. Ivan Echeverria, the guy who runs the promotion, just did a great job. This one dude that fought on the card, Aaron Jaco, I think his name was, right? Aaron Jaco. Dude's name is his fight name is Jedi. So he comes out wearing a Jedi outfit, right? His cornermen come out, three cornermen. They come out wearing Chewbacca, Darth Maul, and Darth Vader masks to the Star Wars music. It was by far one of the coolest walkouts I've ever seen.
Oh, my.
It's hands down one of the most creative things I've ever seen. I can't tell you how sick I am to hearing fighters walk out. That stupid, I don't know what the name of the song is, but that stupid Drake song, all these fighters are walking out to that. We started
at the bottom.
The bottom
now I know
and
exactly
walk,
what you're
I'm like, come
about,
on, man.
No, listen. I know exactly what you're talking about. I covered an event a few months back, and three fighters, I kid you not, three fighters in the same night walked out to that song.
That's garbage, man. It's like seriously, that's what you're coming out with? Like, come on, man. Like, you're trying to get some people amped up. That's not amping me up. That's making me hate Drake more than I already do. It's like, come on, man. Go back to Canada, Drake. Go back to your Degrassi TV show and your Canadian life and just get out of here. I'm sick of having to look at you and hear your crap.
Hey, I just want to point out the boxer who walked out to the Star Wars music with the whole getup. If he did that and I was there, I'd automatically root for him just because of that.
Oh, he was awesome, dude. He straight destroyed in his fight, man. He was legit. I'm going to speak with him, actually, and see if we can't bring him on here. Boxing's not necessarily our thing, but it's part of combat sports, and it's part of supporting the local guys. So I'm going to speak with him, actually, and try and see if we can't maybe get him on here. But he was pretty beast mode. I'm not going to lie. I'm pulling up the results right now. Yeah, it was TKO. That's right. That was a six-round fight. That's one of the things in boxing, man. I was missing the three-round MMA fight. I'm sitting there through a 10-round and an 8-round fight. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, can we maybe get this over with, guys? But he in the fifth round, he got a TKO. He was straight destroying the guy. And I actually did I'm so busy covering events, I forget about some of the ones I do. I did a GFL event Saturday night, XFE 27. That was a pretty awesome night of fights. The undercard went to decision, but when the main card came on, man, they were straight destroying. And I got to say, Anthony Terrell, who I am going to talk with as well because I want to get him on the show, Anthony Terrell delivered a straight head kick knockout that was probably the head kick knockout of the year, if not of all time. It was just so phenomenal. And it just happened so fast, and the dude just went limp, and it was like, lights out, good night, thank you for participating.
Yeah, we'll have to get him on. Anybody that delivers a knockout of that magnitude will have to try to get on the show.
Absolutely. You guys go ahead, BS for a minute or two. I'm going to go ahead and go behind the scenes here and get Cheyenne on the phone. So, Cheyenne Velismus, we've had her on once before. Actually, I think that was with Jason. Yeah, that was back on Full Guard Fight Radio with Jason. But she really, really fast rising fighter down here. Already put together four fights in the span of just a couple months. So been very busy, and we bringing her back on as part of our ladies' night. So let me go ahead and jump behind the scenes and get her ready to go, and you guys kind of just talk about how awesome I am, I guess.
Yeah, we definitely won't do that.
Hater. Sipping on that.
Well, that was awkward. I thought Matthew was already gone. But, yeah, Cheyenne's a fighter down around Matthew's area. He'll be able to tell you a little bit more about her and find out a little bit more during the interview. I have an upcoming event next week, not this weekend. I'll be busy watching Cage Warriors and all that stuff. But Justin Woods against Tim Dunn, two undefeated professional fighters here at UBC 26, November 2nd at the Aladdin Shrine Center in Columbus, Ohio. The rest of the fight card is going to be announced soon. If you do not, follow me on Twitter, and you will hear all about it. If not, follow MMAMadhouse.com, and you will hear all about it. Cara, do you have any events out your way coming up?
I have an event coming up November the 2nd. It's a Hard Rock MMA event. I'm really looking forward to that. They have quite a card getting built. I just did a Hard Rock event at the end of September. It was great. Stacked card. Some of the best fights I've seen on a local level. Very excited for this next one.
Definitely,
all right, guys.
Definitely.
So we have the Warrior Princess ready to go. We have Cheyenne Velismus with us. Cheyenne, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very good. Now, you've been very, very busy. You know, you turned 18 just a couple months ago, debuted at the WCFL event, and since then you've been in four fights, put up a record of 1-1-1, although you and I both know I've been in each of your fights, obviously, and then we both know that the record should probably be a little bit different. But and then you just came out a couple weeks ago with your first kickboxing fight, which you tore her up, beat her up pretty bad for solid rounds, and you're keeping yourself very busy.
Yes, I am. Just trying to get as much experience as I can in for the next 2 years because I'm not trying to rush it, but the amateurs, is, I believe, is where you get all the experience and you build yourself up to get to the pros because that's when it really does matter.
Exactly right. Now, do you got anything coming up? Any plans to fight soon? I know you and Tony Murphy, you guys kind of just come back from a little vacation, take some time off. You both have actually been really busy because he fought at Powerhand Promotions himself, and he's you guys are by far two of the busiest fighters down here in the Tampa area. So, anything coming up for you anytime soon?
Yes, I'm fighting in a couple weeks, November 16th for. At the All Sports Arena, I'll be fighting Lisa and Stereo. And then in December 13th, I'll be fighting for the USAL again. I wish it was for the belt again, but I don't believe so. It's against a boxer named another Lisa Cornelius. And those are the only two I have up lined up right now. And I believe I'll be fighting again in twice in December, another kickboxing fight. But I'm hoping this time it's Muay Thai.
Right on. Now, speaking of which, the last one was going to be Muay Thai, and there was a mix-up on the opponent's side or something like that. Something happened where there was a miscommunication, and it didn't go down like that. What happened there? And
well, I wanted it to be Muay Thai because that's my thing, but I'm also fine with kickboxing as well. The girl had no Muay Thai experience, so she said no, or else she won't fight me, and I did not argue about that. I said, it's a great experience for me to fight her either way, kickboxing or Muay Thai, because she had no experience and had no experience in kickboxing, so I was like, I'll do it either way. I mean, I have a Taekwondo background, so I really didn't mind at all, but I'm really trying to, I want to become pro Muay Thai one day as well, so I'm trying to get Muay Thai fights in.
Right on. Now, what's Tony up to? Has he got something coming up as well?
No, he's not at all. He's taking time off because he knows what he needs to practice. He's actually training with me at UFC gym with my Muay Thai coach, and he's training over at Gator with me. I do wrestling there, and, you know, he's training with the guys downstairs. I'm upstairs with Michael Geary for jiu-jitsu while I'm at and also I'm at Gracie, but yeah, no, he's just going to take some time off, train a lot, and I think he's going to fight again in, like, December.
Right on, that's awesome. Tony's awesome, dude, great fighter, and been on the short end of a couple fights lately, but doesn't change the fact that he comes out and fights with his heart, fights 100% and puts on great shows, so always look forward to seeing him get back in the cage.
Yeah, he definitely does put up exciting fights.
Now, we were as I asked our guest we just got off the air with, you got now as an amateur, you know, you said the amateur, and you summed it up perfectly. The amateurs are 100% about getting experience, getting comfortable in the cage, getting a feel for it, understanding what it's about. And it's not really about, you know, well, this is what my record is or this is who I'm fighting. It's more about just getting out there, doing it, proving it to yourself and getting that experience so that when you go pro, it's like nothing.
Yep.
You know, you can get up there and it's just, you flow like water. So, you know, as a young girl, when you look at some of these female fighters that are a little bit older that have already gone pro, you know, who are a couple fighters that you look up to?
I will always be a Ronda Rousey fan, even though a lot of people aren't liking her right now. I look up to her because, one, she trained her whole life in her sport, and, you know, she was really underestimated in the amateurs, and, you know, people didn't like her at first, but when she started winning, and she led her way up to the pros, you know, people really would like to talk down about her, just like with me, you know, because she's a prettier fighter, you know, there's people that love her and there's people that hate her. And I feel like she trains hard every single day, and I look up to her a lot. I've been following her since about a year now. And that's probably only who I look up to right now. I'm not really too familiar with local professional fighters. I do have one friend that I do know of. She's a pro Muay Thai. She tried MMA. This was a thing. Her name's Tiffany. They call her Tippy. She's a beautiful model and kick-ass Muay Thai fighter. And she has her own gym. And I think she's awesome. She's a great sparring partner as well. You know, I just look up to anyone who is in the gym every single day working their ass off. I mean, I can't complain about that. So everyone works hard. Everyone, if you want to fight, fight. But just got to change. And do that, you have my respect.
Yeah,
you know, Matthew,
awesome.
Touched on your age, the fact that you just turned 18 this year, but you're still, you know, you're stacking your plate as full as you can of fights. But as far as your competition is concerned, is it a bit intimidating, or does it give you more motivation in the gym whenever you're fighting somebody who's been in the game for 5, 10 years?
That's a really good question. My very first fight, I took on a 33-year-old woman who was an Olympic wrestler in black belt in judo. You know, age doesn't matter to me, but, you know, I want to fight the best. So, you know, challenges like that are great because that was my very first fight. I went the distance with her, and, you know, that should show that age does not matter. You know, I turned 18 4 days before the fight. She had unbelievable strength over me, experience, and, you know, it was honestly a great experience. Me and her had our conflict in the beginning, and, you know, we actually turned out to be, like, friends, and I'm actually going to be training with her. And I tell everyone who, you know, with age difference, you know, there's nothing to be worried about. I mean, I'm 18. I'm definitely the weakest out of all my opponents. I mean, I'm athletic, don't get me wrong, but, you know, but it shouldn't be about strength, you know. Technique, that's what I work every single day, is technique after technique, because that is what will make you better. Not power, not that. Yeah, you can have a hard hit, but if you have technique, that can also win you a fight.
Absolutely, and, you know, whenever I was looking you up a little bit, wanting to learn a little bit about you, I saw, you know, you're well-rounded and Brazilian jiu-jitsu, striking, ground and pound. You know, obviously you've got some kickboxing skills. You won your first kickboxing fight. You know, is there anything that you prefer to focus on, or do you like to keep it that way, just a well-rounded general, you're good in every type of situation?
Well, I'm definitely well-rounded in my striking, and that is my favorite. I love Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but my weakness is wrestling. I will admit it. Every fighter has a weakness. Mine is definitely wrestling. I'm actually working that now. I'm over at Gator MMA. There's a lot of recruited wrestlers there. My boyfriend, Tony Murphy, he's a state champ wrestler. That's one thing I'm really focusing on right now. You know, I love the ground game. That I've been doing that for almost 3 years now. But striking will always be my forte. I've been doing it since I was a little girl. But I believe as a fighter, and if you want to be pro, you have to have good everything. You have to be well-rounded at everything. And, you know, if you're not, then you're not ready. That's how I look at it. It's like my wrestling, you know, I can't work that for a few months and say, oh, I've had 5 fights, I'm ready to go pro. No, I have to build myself up, get in the cage, try to take people down. That's what I'm looking at as. Like, my next opponent, you know, I had to look like, you know, I'm not going to be winning fights by pulling guard. I'm not, because that's how I lost my first fight, and I learned from it. Like, I realized what I need to do, and I'm trying to perfect every aspect. My striking, I've dominated someone in my striking, but that doesn't mean that there won't be someone bigger and badder. So, you know, you always have to keep practicing. That's how I look at it. I mean, I won my first kickboxing fight, but, I mean, the girl was definitely tough. I definitely took some hits, and, you know, I watched my videos every single day to try to perfect what I did wrong, and that's how every fighter should be, as I feel. because you have to definitely be well-rounded in the sport. I haven't had a ground-and-pound fight yet, and I won't take one until after December because, like I said, my wrestling is not up to par with it. And, you know, I'm definitely a guard person, as people can see. I mean, I'm very good off my back in submissions, but I do not believe I am ready for ground and pound yet. And I will admit that. And like I said, I'm just trying to perfect every aspect. I love the whole ground and stand up, but definitely need to work my wrestling.
Well, being as you well, first off, I want to say kudos to you for being such a humble fighter, because you don't always get that. Some people, if I'm the best at everything, come watch me kick ass. You're obviously very humble and very, you know, your skill set, which is always refreshing. But knowing your skill set, as far as the next fight is concerned, is there something that you, like, what do you want when you walk into that cage? Do you want that, you know, knockout? Do you want that arm bar? Like, what is it that you are craving as a win?
To be honest, I just want the respect from the other fighter. We all go in, we both do the sport for a reason, but I don't have the knockout power yet. I know that for 100% fact, just like my kickboxing fight, I realize I cannot knock anyone out yet. I know that I'm not strong enough. I can submit people, but I just want the respect from the other fighter. I'm a young female fighter. I get talked about quite a bit, and, you know, I just stay humble. I go in, I give my respect, and if they don't respect me back, they will respect me in the end. That's how I look at it. I just want to go in, do my job, walk out with a smile on my face.
Well, that's great to hear. You know, and you said, you know, you get talked about quite a bit, and I'm going to ask, you know, is it because of your age, or is it because you are just absolutely gorgeous? Like, does that play... and I'm being completely honest, you are. Like, does that factor into the talk a little bit?
To be honest, I look at it as, one, because of my age, and two, I believe the people that don't keep up with the fighting are the people who talk about my, you know, my beauty and stuff, which I don't care for that. I'm not in it to be a fighter known for prettiness. I'm in to be a badass female fighter. That's what I'm in it for, but I believe I get talked about because, well, there's actually a girl that's coming on tonight that me and her actually have a little bit of conflict. But I get talked about, I believe, because, well, I'm not too sure, because people see I'm coming up. I'm only 18, you know, and I'm taking on tough fights. That's why I believe I get talked about, because I might not win them all. I'm 1-1-1 in MMA, you know. But I've taken on Olympic wrestling. I've taken on someone who's had way more experience than me. I took on a Marine, you know. And, you know, people like to get in my head. You know, that's how they feel. Like, she's young. She's this. No. I'll go into the cage. You know, I'm comfortable. You know, I know what to do. But I'm not saying I will win them all, but I will get their respect at the end. If people like to talk about it, they can. And I just have to... Everyone has to learn to, you know, take it. That's how I feel.
Hey, Cheyenne, I gotta backtrack really quick. You mentioned a fighter coming on tonight that you've had a little slight quarrel with. I'm gonna take a guess at who that is, because it really only would make sense for me that it can only be one person. How did that come about, and what is the quarrel between the two of you?
To be honest, it's from the fighting world, to be honest. Me and her never had any problems before fighting. Everyone should know who it is, Delaney Owens. I always see stuff about me now. You know, her fiance has talked down about me. To just sum it up pretty much, it's just, we don't get along. I told her yesterday there's no reason to talk crap. I'll see you in the professionals. And I will settle that. And, you know, the reason how it all built up was after my second fight with Sasha Brown, when that whole thing went down, she called me trashy, white, trash, redneck, something. I don't know. I don't really care. And
oh my.
That goes, yeah, I know. you call me trashy because my opponent made a video of me making fun of modeling and stuff, you know, just typical try to get in my head. And, you know, in the middle of the fight, she's, like, cussing me out, her corner's cussing me out, which no one in the crowd can see, which is terrible. And so, I mean, after I win, yeah, I'm going to yell at your face. It's not like I was cussing her out. And, you know, I see things posted about me, which is fine, talk about me. But when I see someone who I have no conflict with talk about me and this and that, and she'll fight me, okay, I have 4 fights, then you have 9. You know, why? Because you want to fight? Okay. But that's all I can say.
All right. Well, listen, I hate to cut you off. For time purposes, we are going to have to, though. Obviously, I know you got sponsors and you got shout-outs, and I want to make sure that you are able to give those. So go ahead and tell everybody your sponsors and where they can find you on social media.
Hi. I would like to thank Girl Jitsu, Faves of MMA, Wing House in Hillsboro, who's the fourth one, Wing House, What the Box with Tampa Bay Bucks, and The Photo Smith. And you can find me on Facebook. My fan page is Cheyenne the Warrior Princess Bellissmith. Instagram, Cheyenne Bellissmith. Twitter, Cheyenne Bellissmith. Everything is my name.
And not to mention, you are the one and only fighter that, under our request, has started a Pinterest. So major shout out to you there.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Obviously, I'll be seeing you. I'll be at both of those events that you've got planned. You're fighting, so I hope to be following you and getting to watch you fight live for a long time to come. Obviously, you always come out and put on a great show. So I'll see you soon. Take care, and thanks for joining us, Cheyenne.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You have a good night.
Thank you.
Right on. So the Warrior Princess, as she is called, phenomenal young fighter, and she's got a lot to say, and it's cool. You know, she's a well-spoken girl, very passionate about the fight game, and so definitely enjoy watching her fight and stuff. So we're looking forward to seeing her. As she did mention, she's scheduled to fight that's AFC MMA Fight Night, which will be November 16th at the All Sport Arena in Port Richey, Florida. And then I believe she also mentioned that she is going to be fighting in December, I think she said, for the USAL, which I believe is either on the 7th or the 13th of December. So either way, I'll be there, and those results will obviously be on the Greatest MMA website on the planet. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're going to play a quick song. I have not stopped listening to this CD since it came out, and therefore I'm in charge here, so I'm going to make anybody listening also listen to this song. So anyways, here's some of Data. Remember, enjoy it. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Start it.
Go!
I reserve my right to feel uncomfortable, reserve my right to be afraid. I make mistakes and I am humbled every step of the way. I want to be a better person, I want to know the master plan. Cast your stones, cast your judgment, you don't make me who I am. I reserve my right to be uncomfortable, reserve my right to be afraid. I make mistakes and I am humble every step of the way. I want to be a better person, I want to know the master plan. Cast your stones, cast your judgment, you don't make me who I am. I am the one who will sit down, never get up.
Yeah, so awesome song, awesome CD, awesome band, and Spencer's a jackass because he got to see them recently. So,
oh yeah, no, you can't even talk. That's what you get for covering World Series of Fighting without me.
Hey, I'm sorry. I live in a state that's got like five MMA events every weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait,
but then
wait,
I'm not sorry about that.
It's pretty awesome.
If you meet Josh Berkman, you have to send me a picture. I love Josh Berkman.
I'll think about it.
No, you better.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Exactly right. He won't even be there, and he's saying we'll see. So, yeah, we'll see.
I'll be there in spirit.
No, no, you won't be. Anyways, all right, so on the list, our guest of the evening. Delaney Owen needs no introduction on here. She's a regular. This is her third or fourth time on the show. We love having her on. She stays busy. She keeps winning fights. And she's just awesome to talk to. So I'm going to go ahead and get her ready to go. You two continue to talk about how awesome I am, and I'll be right back.
Yeah, Matthew. Is he gone yet?
One thing I've learned is he loves himself, doesn't he?
Yeah. Now you see
he
what I put up with.
He is his biggest fan.
Ouch. That's cold blooded.
we appreciate it. We appreciate you coming on, being a guest host. You're always welcome.
This past week,
we had Bellator 104. On the undercard, Paul Sass recently cut by the UFC. He got a win against Rod Montoya via toehold. You don't see that often. The main card, Peter Graham defeated Eric Prindle in the opening fight. Kendall Grove defeated Joe Vitapo. Both of those were unanimous decisions. Ron Kessler got the upset win over War Machine via rear naked choke. It was a technical submission. He put him to sleep. In the main event, Rick Hahn defeated Brent Weedman for the second time. I was actually disappointed with the Bellator card. Normally, I'm a huge Bellator supporter. Besides the War Machine fight, I was pretty bored. So I don't know
the
if you
War
watched
Machine,
that. But...
Yes, the War Machine fight really shocked me. 100% did not expect that. You know, I was happy to see Rick Hahn win. I covered Bellator in Atlantic City back in April and met Rick Hahn. He was a really nice guy. A great guy, been a fan, was a fan before then, bigger fan since then. But, you know, the War Machine fight, I really did not expect him to come away with a loss.
Yeah, we're big fans of War Machine here. I was really rooting for him. But as far as Rick Hahn, I think he pretty much has that welterweight tournament wrapped up with War Machine losing. I don't see how Ron Kessler can beat him. Rick Hahn uses judo as a defense. Keep it standing and kind of pick apart Ron Kessler because Kessler's amazing on the ground.
Completely agree. 100%.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's the UFC 166 event. We will talk more about that later. We're not big Zuffa zombies here, but we have to talk about that Diego Sanchez and Gilbert Melendez fight. along with, of course, the main event champ, Cain Velasquez, defending his belt against Junior Dos Santos. And I think Matthew has Delaney yet. I'm not sure if he's ready yet or not. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm sorry, folks.
All right, guys, so I am back, and with me I have Delaney Little Scrappy Owen. Like I said earlier, I think if we have her on the show one more time, we're going to probably have to include her as a host. But it's always fun to have her here. So with us tonight is Delaney Owen. So, Delaney, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing very good. You're pretty much been on the show just about as many times as me and Spencer have. So
I know, right?
It's kind of like... At this point, it's kind of like just sitting back and chatting and talking and stuff. So right off the bat, you know, your last fight was a big-time fight, main event for the WCFL, first time that they've done that for a ladies' fight, which I told Ralph and Dwayne weeks ago that it was a phenomenal idea that you guys would pack the house and put on a good fight, and that is exactly what you did. Just talk a little bit about that fight, your perspective on how it went down and how you got the great finish.
Okay. Well, let's see. Let's start from the beginning. You know, I was kind of disappointed that it was getting to be so late. Didn't really start. I didn't go out until about 12:30 at night. So, you know, I've never really fought that late before. And that was kind of a little bit frustrating. But when I came out there, you know, I knew that I was going to be going up in weight class. You know, so I was going to be fighting at 125, which I usually try to stay away from, but, you know, it's hard to find fights, so I got to do what I got to do. So came out first round. I knew that she wasn't going to touch gloves with me, but I kind of do that just because I like to gauge the range between people, you know, like I like to see where I'm at. So I threw my hand out there, you know, whatever, she didn't touch gloves with me. And then she stayed away, and I was kind of surprised about that because usually she rushes in. She tries to throw, you know, kind of heavy hands, or, you know, stuff like that. So I didn't really do what I was supposed to do. I kind of went, like, a little bit, veered off a little bit, went a little cowboy. But I rushed in. I threw an overhand right. I rushed in, and then I got immediate double underhooks, which, you know, I work a lot of wrestling. So I went for that immediately. I got it, and she was waiting for it. So she tossed me, and I, you know, kind of flew in the air a little bit there. And then I landed on my back. As soon as I hit the mat, I popped right back up, and I put her on her back. So I turned it over, so I was in her guard. And then I was trying to pick her up and put her closer in the fence. And as I did that, I extended my arm, and she slapped on her arm bar, which, you know, was pretty tight. And I'm sure you guys could all see that. And so it was really tight, and I was just sitting there. I was like, okay, I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to defend it, and I, you know, I work defense all the time. I will with, you know, some really amazing teammates that I have, and they get me and stuff like that all the time. So I was just sitting there defending, and then I was trying to put my knee on top of her head to put a lot of pressure on her. It seemed to help a little bit. And then I decided I was going to sit up and try to extend and get my arm out. But I twisted my hand first so that it wouldn't have the arm bar. So I'm glad I did that. Otherwise, my arm definitely would have popped. So I twisted my hand. I got out. She put me in a, omoplata sweep. So she did that. It was kind of like a different form of it. She kind of just rolled over with it. And then I put her back into my guard. And then at the end of the round, I finished with me being on top. I kicked her off. I was on top with ground and pound. So I knew that going into the second round, I needed to change my game up quite a bit, which I've been working a lot of. Some of my other fights, a lot, and I think it goes for a lot of other girls too, is that when we come out for fights, if we lose the first round, it is very, very hard for us to bounce back and win the second round or win the third round. And, you know, it sounds kind of retarded saying that, but it's true. It's a mental thing, and I learned that in my Hannah Cypress fight. When I lost the first round, and I wasn't defeated, but I was kind of defeated mentally, and it really broke me down a little bit because I never lost a round until that fight. So when I lost that first round, you know, it really sunk into me that, all right, I need to take this girl back and choke her out. You know, that's all I really wanted to do. So came out again. I clinched with her again. She tried to throw me, and I stopped it. I threw my hand up because I was going to try to take her back off of it. And then I put her in the fence. And then I took her down, double leg, took the takedown. And then she, I'm trying to remember what happened exactly. She was trying to go for an armbar again. I passed her guard. She turtled up. I had some ground and pound in there. And then she gave up her back. And then it was kind of funny because she was so close to the fence, so I had to kind of pull her away from it. So it was a really tight squeeze trying to, you know, take her back off of the fence like that on the ground. So, but thankfully I got it. And then as soon as I hit her in the face a couple times, I had the choke and she tapped and it was done. So, and then I was screaming my head off.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
She said congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
She was, there was a lot of high intensity to it and a lot of build up to the fight. So I got to say your poise and like focus when she had you in that arm bar, cause she did have that, for, you know, probably a good minute or so. It looked like it.
Yeah. And it was at least a minute and a half, maybe almost 2 minutes. Like it was a long time, but you know, what's funny is, and I'm not trying to sound cocky or anything like that. And I knew when she had my arm bar, I was like, I'm absolutely getting out of this. Like, there's no way it's going down like this. I am not losing this fight this way. You know, like, I cannot let it happen. So, and I knew that I just needed to rely on my training. And that's just because I've had a little bit more experience in fights, you know, now that I'm 7-1, I knew that I just needed to rely on that, stay calm. You know, I feel at home in the cage now. You know, like, I walk in there and I feel so comfortable. So I knew that I needed to use that to my advantage and just be calm about it, you know?
Yeah.
You talked about whenever you went into the cage that, you know, you kind of veered from your game plan. Like, how hard is it as a fighter to stick to it once you're in that moment?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of hard. I think there was a couple of things. Like, I was really tired. You know, I just wasn't really thinking straight. I just was thinking about the end, you know, game plan, which was to choke her out. And that's what I wanted to do, and that's all I was thinking about. I wasn't thinking about the setup part of it, which is crucial, you know, with anything that you're doing, you know, with martial arts. So that, you know, I had a little sit-down talk with my coach after that. He's like, "Now you didn't do this, this, or this." And I was like, "I know, I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. I was just kind of going in there and going kind of crazy." Yeah, it's definitely really important, but it's hard to do at the same time. Like, my fight against Anna Smith, we actually drilled that night after we heard that she put a hole in the wall while she was getting ready for the fight. She was warming up. She put a hole in the wall because she punches so hard. We're like, all right, this is what we're going to do. And I practiced it, like, 10 times, and then I went in there and I did it, and it worked perfectly, and I choked her out in the first round. You know, so it can be done, but you just have to really be thinking about it and focusing on it, I guess, you know, have all your thoughts prepared.
And whenever you go into a fight and you have a game plan prepared, you know, you prepare this for weeks. Once you know who your opponent is, you work towards what you need to do to dominate this opponent once you get into the cage. But is there something outside of just the fight that you work on, you know, is there a way that you get into your opponent's head, like as far as trash talking goes, anything to that effect media-wise? Like, is there something that you also try to do to work your opponent in other ways besides in the cage?
Not really, actually. Like, the fights that I've had, I've been really cool with all the girls that I've ever fought. Sarah Pant was really the first one that I didn't really care for. It's not like I didn't like her, but it was, you know, I don't like being called out, and that kind of puts me on edge, so therefore I'm going to be defensive, of course. So I'm not going to be, you know, all fun and games when I see them or when I talk about them, you know. But I didn't talk about her at all, really. You know, I just told people that she was 3-3, and this is what I needed to do. I showed people the video of her trash-talking me, which was funny. So everybody was like, oh, you're going to kick your ass, Delaney, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, you know, I don't know. She's training hard, so calm down, you know. So, but as far as the other girls, I'm friends with most of them. I really haven't had any bad blood with any of the girls that I fought. Even Hannah Cypher, we're cool. I don't talk to her, but I have no malice against her, you know. But I really don't like the trash talk. I don't think it does anything for us at all. And it can definitely get emotions going, and I don't like to be emotional like that. I like to be focused. So even if somebody pisses me off, I try not to focus on it. I try to stay off of Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that when it gets closer to the fight. Because I don't like to see all the people saying negative stuff about me. You know, it doesn't do anything for me. So I just like to focus on my training and, you know, listen to what my coach has to say, you know, what he has to say about, you know, what I should do and what I should say to people, you know. So he's kind of like my manager with that. So.
Absolutely.
So now,
go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kari.
Well, you know, I was going to focus again on age. You know, we've had some young fighters on tonight. You know, Delaney, you're 20, is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When you have a record of 7-1, you know, you have a lot of fights, you know, being young. You know, how does that fare whenever you come across your competition as far as anybody else with more experience as you? Is that intimidating or motivational?
Well, my combined opponents that I fought is 18-7, I believe. So I really, I think I've only had one fight that I needed to get kind of like a pick-me-up, you know, like I needed to feel a little bit better about some stuff and I needed to work on some different techniques. But pretty much all of my fights have been, you know, not something that's been set up. Like, it's been tough fights and girls that have good records, you know, and we've been really evenly matched, you know, when we fought at that time. So, I'm sorry, what was the question again? I just lost my track.
No,
okay, so I got really fast.
No, I'm sorry. As far as your age is concerned, you know,
yes,
being so young, coming into a sport where some people have, I'm sure you've fought older opponents.
Okay.
You know, how do you handle that going against somebody that's been in the sport, say, 10 years?
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I completely got sidetracked. But
no worries.
Well, I started training when I was 18. I was February of 18. My birthday's in November. So I started training for about a year, jiu-jitsu, and then when I turned 19, I had my first fight. So I've been fighting for about, let's say, a year and a half, something like that, almost 2 years. So in February, it's going to be 3 years total of me training, doing anything with martial arts. So I think that age really does not play a factor at all. I think anybody that's younger really should have kind of almost an advantage because you're going to be more flexible. You know, you're not going to really have that womanly strength that a lot of these older women have, you know, that's for sure. But you're going to be, like I said, flexible, and you're not going to have to deal with as many injuries. So I think that that's definitely something that has helped me a lot. So I don't think it's valid when anybody says, you know, the age is a matter when it comes to fighting. There's some older women out there that kick ass, you know, so I wouldn't want to mess with my mom, that's for sure. She would definitely beat me up. But I'd be willing to take on anybody. I don't care, you know, what their age is. I don't care if they just turned 18. I don't care if they're 45 years old. You know, it doesn't matter. I don't care if, you know, they've been in the Olympics or what they've done. And I'd like to be pretty evenly matched. I think that's fair enough to say. But as far as their skill goes, I just have to work on what I'm going to do. I need to stop worrying about what everybody else is doing because I'm going to fight my fight, and I'm going to make them fight my fight. You know, I'm not going to fall into their game plan. So that's kind of my thoughts on that.
So now you got a fight coming up. Are you going to be defending your Atlas Fights Championship, what you said, coming up in the next couple months sometime?
No, that one, that's the amateur title, so I'm not going to fight amateur anymore. My next fight is definitely going to be pro, but it will probably be for Atlas. because they have a pro-am card that they do in Biloxi, and I love going up there. It's so much fun, and they treat us really well up there. So it was, they were supposed to have a fight card December, I think it was like December 7th, something like that, but they had to move it back to, I believe, January, February. So the thing I like about that is there's a TV deal, so I'm trying to get on TV. That's kind of my goal. I feel like if you're not being seen, then it's, you know, when you're going pro, then it's not really worth it. It's kind of pointless. So that's the plan right now. I'm just kind of waiting for an opponent. I'd love to fight anybody. So any managers out there, you know, you can contact my coach. So I'm down for the cause.
Right on. Now, is your coach somebody notable?
Oh, yes, Mike Yanez. Sorry.
I know.
Find him on Facebook, too, Michael Yanez Highlander.
I knew who he was, of course. I just was waiting. You just keep saying coach. I'm like, when is she going to actually say his name? Let
Who's
people know
coach?
Who you're talking
it's
about.
A mystery coach. Nobody knows.
That is
like
such
a ninja.
Her coach. That is her coach / fiance. They did recently get engaged, so it was very exciting news for her and Michael.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. And you can Google him. He's Googleable. Look up Mike Yanez. He's under Pablo Popovich, black belt. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, so I'm sure everybody knows who Pablo is, and if you don't, well, that's sad. You should look him up, too.
She's like, I'll call everybody out. I don't even care. That's what Delaney Owens is doing right here.
Right. I know, right?
All right, Delaney, well, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Glad that you were wanted to be part of our ladies' night here, where we're just focusing on women's MMA, and you're obviously one of the rising stars of women's MMA. So always good to have you on, and, of course, you're always welcome back. And before we let you go, obviously want to let you go ahead and give shout-outs to your sponsors and where people can find you on social media.
Okay. And thank you very much. I hope you guys don't get sick of me too quickly. So I really enjoy coming on here and being able to talk about, you know, stuff and speak my mind about some stuff, too. So I really appreciate that. But you can find me on Facebook. If you like my fan page, it's Delaney Will Scrappy Owen. And then I have a Twitter account, at ScrappyDL. And then I just want to give a shout-out to my sponsors, Brawl and Mall, Covenant Business Solutions, PressBox, and I believe that's about it. And also my fight team, Highlander Fight Team, here in Tampa. So thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Delaney. Have a good night. It's always good talking to you.
All right, thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Right on. They call her a little scrappy, and she is just that very scrappy fighter and gets the job done. So always awesome. I finally, you know, I've been a fan for a while, and I've followed her fight for a while, but I finally did get to see her fight live this last time against Sarah Pant. So it was really cool to finally get to see her fight live in person. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and jump right into giving Jordan Cole Gaza a call. So you guys hang out, do a little chat, and I'll be back.
Alrighty, as I discussed earlier, we have Cage Warriors coming up this weekend. I'm a personal fan of Cage Warriors. Cage Warriors Fight Night 9. Bruno V.C. Carvalho, I believe that's how you pronounce it. You guys know I'm awful with names. Against Gail Grimaud. That's the main event. Co-main event is Fakal Husin versus Che Mills. Che Mills, as you know, from the UFC. And Ronnie Mann is also on that fight card. Also, trying to scroll, I have them all written down here. Bellator 105, we have Saad Awad versus Will Brooks. There we go, the name was escaping me. Saad Awad versus Will Brooks, second time they're fighting. Awad won the first one, that's for the lightweight tourney semifinal. The other semifinal is Alexander Sarnowski versus Ricardo Trelawney. That'll be a hell of a fight. That's the co-main event. Rounding out the events for Bellator 105 is Ron Sparks versus Sila Muhammad Saliga, man, I swear these promotions give me the hardest names to pronounce, and Andreas Fang versus Eugene Faduria. So that's Bellator 105, and I believe Matthew has Jordan with us.
Yeah, I am here. I am back, and we do have Jordan Nicole Gaza live and ready to go. So, Jordan, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good.
Thank you for joining us. Very exciting to have you on the show. You're a very exciting young fighter. I've been very busy. I know you just got back from Arizona doing some cross training out there.
Yeah, it was awesome there.
Now, what school were you training at with out there? Who were you cross training with?
I was training at the lab. It's where like Ben Henderson trains. A lot of good fighters. I was training with the Liebarger twins, and you know, there's just full of good fighters there.
Very awesome. So now, do you have an upcoming fight, or do you have something you're training for? Is it just kind of like
I'm waiting around for a fight right now. I wanted to get one before the end of the year, but we'll see what happens. And then, but if I get a fight, then I'll for sure head back out to Arizona and do my whole training camp there.
Right on. Now, you've had a couple fights that kind of like fall through and didn't happen over the past few months. Now, were there different circumstances for that, or like what's kind of been the reasoning there?
I had a lot of. Well, I was supposed to fight Michelle Gutierrez in August, I think, and I had done a boxing fight right before it, and I got TKO'd. I hate boxing. Never doing it again. But I got TKO'd, and they wouldn't clear me to fight for my next fight. So that's what happened with that one. A couple other fights I've had, you know, personal problems that finally fixed and got rid of. So I'm back on
it
now.
Now, I saw a video from a Naga tournament that you did where you tapped out this dude. What was his expression after getting tapped out by you?
Oh, my gosh. That was so long ago. He just looked so surprised after that, I remember. And I remember looking at his mom, because I was like 14 or 15 when this was going on. I remember his mom looked so pissed, more pissed than he did.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mr.
You got it.
I just wanted to know what it was like to have an article written about you on MMA Junkie so early in your career.
It was really cool. Like we had, I had one of the guys from there. He actually flew out and he followed me a couple days before my fight, and kept up with everything. He was there seeing me die through my weight cut and everything. That was really cool. I mean, it was my first pro fight, so it was interesting. Unfortunately, I lost, but it was really cool to have that.
Now, going into that first fight, did that make you maybe extra nervous that he was around?
No, not at all. I had so much stuff going around. I had him back there. I had some local people that wanted to do a documentary on me. I had, news people. There was just stuff all around me the whole time, so that was just another person. You know, it didn't really affect me in any way.
Right.
Now there's a Bleacher Report did an article on you a couple years back, too, talking about how you're a cheerleader turned fighter, which kind of, from what I've read, diminished a little bit of your background. I mean, it wasn't like you were just a cheerleader who decided to start fighting. You had been in athletics and played sports all your life, right?
Right. I started off with cheerleading and, like, dancing and stuff when I was about 3, when I was old enough to be putting it. And then in middle school and high school, I ran cross country. High school, I ran varsity cross country. In middle school, I played basketball, volleyball. High school, I played volleyball. I did wrestling a couple years in high school. So I was always active. I've always been doing stuff. I don't think I've ever, you know, not had something to do. So it wasn't really a big switch, especially because whenever I started fighting, I was still in high school, so I had to drop all the other sports, but I kept my 2 favorites, so I was fighting and doing cheerleading as well with it.
Right on. Now, what made you, or what did the decision come about that to get into MMA? Like, what sparked that interest, and what made you decide you wanted to fight?
Well, I started when I was, I think, in 6th grade. I just added it because, I mean, my mom, I remember she used to take me from one sport to another, and my little brothers did it, and my little boyfriend in middle school did it, did jiu-jitsu. And I was like, okay, like, I want to try this. So I went and jumped into a class one day, fell in love with it, started competing. And I always said that I was never going to actually fight. Like, I just wanted to kind of do it as a hobby. And then one day I jumped into sparring with the guys, and ever since then, you know, I got my first fight and kicked off from there, and I fell in love with it.
Right on. Now, you fought already in your young career. You fought some big names. I mean, your pro debut was against Paige VanZant, and then you went on and you defeated Katina Kitron. What's it like being right into the pros and fighting two big-name female fighters such as them?
I don't look at anyone differently. Like, if I were to fight someone with no fights, if I were to fight Ronda Rousey, like, I don't know. It doesn't matter exactly, like, who it is or how big their name is. So I kind of just look at it all the same. A loss is a loss, and a win is a win.
Right. Now, the Paige VanZant fight, I have no idea how you lost the fight. I've watched it a couple times over, and every time I watch it, I'm still reassured that you should have won that fight. But
right,
as,
that fight
pisses me off. Yeah, I mean, I can understand that because when you watch that fight and you're controlling most of it, I mean, she put up a good fight. It was a great fight, but I just don't see how it went a split decision her way. But did that kind of fuel you to want to come out and do even better the next time, thus resulting in the fact that you got a really nice rear naked choke against Katina in the second round?
It did. At first, I was kind of disappointed. I was really disappointed in my performance. I felt like I sucked, even though, you know, I did. I felt like I won, but I felt like I sucked. I felt like if I fought Paige again, I would knock her out in the first round. But, you know, I took a long break after that. I don't even know. It was almost a little, it was like maybe like 6 or 7 months I took off. And then once I got back in it, you know, I just walked in there. And, you know, kicked ass.
Well, everybody has, you know, regimens as far as training goes coming up to a fight. But, you know, how do you mentally prepare yourself when it's time to get in the cage? Is that harder for you?
It's really
than
hard
actually
for me.
Training?
Yeah, it's really hard for me. The training camps are always extremely hard, but... you know, mentally it's a whole different ball game, and I've had trouble in the past with it, and I still have trouble with it. I've even, you know, had to go see a sports psychologist. I have problems and stuff with it, but, I mean, you just go in there and do it, and that's what makes it so fun. It's like, you love it, but you hate it. Like, I love going in there and doing it, yet the whole preparing yourself right before you walk out and stuff is crazy.
I bet it is. Well, to get back to training, as far as that's concerned, how hard or how often do you train leading up to an actual fight?
I'll usually do about like an 8-week training camp. I try to train at least 3 times a day and then add maybe like a run or two in there too. You know, it's always, I've had a lot of different training camps. Where I live right now, I don't have the best access to good training. So since I found the lab now, I haven't fought out of there yet, but I know that when I get another fight that my training camp will be completely different and 100 times better.
How did you say that you, I'm sorry, I was cutting out a little bit. Did you say that you have an upcoming bout?
No, I don't. I'm saying like for my next fight, I know that I'll have a very good training camp waiting for me.
You were talking about some of the people that you trained with at the MMA lab. Did you get the chance to kind of meet and train with Efrain Escudero or Scott Holtzman? They're both personal friends of the show. We've had them on a couple times.
Oh, yeah. God, I didn't really get to meet him too much. Efrain, though, yeah, the last couple times I was there, I got some good training and some good points and, you know, tips from him. So, yeah, definitely.
Were you there when Efrain was training for his fight down at CFA?
No,
I wasn't. I was there when he was fighting, though. But I didn't get to see him this time. But the past two times that I was there, though, I was there when he was training.
Nice, nice.
So now what do you, I mean, as busy as you are with all this training, you know, and getting to travel out there and train, when you get some downtime, when you get some time off, what do you like to do?
I like to hang out with my friends. I'll go out with my friends. I like to still stay active, go running. You know, I'm kind of a, I'll go out with my friends and have fun, but I'm also just a boring person, go out, watch movies, stuff like that. Go shopping.
Right on. Now as a fighter, you know, you've had some fights booked with Legacy, which is, as I mentioned earlier, a promotion that does a lot of good things for women's MMA. As a female fighter, as a young female fighter who's got a really good future ahead of her, got a lot of great potential, and hoping to see a lot of good fights from you in the future, what promotions are out there that you can see right now that are doing really good things for women's MMA?
Well, obviously Invicta is doing awesome. CFA, that big tournament that they had, that was pretty badass. I don't know, because XFC, just so many people, so many promotions are bringing out women, and, you know, there's so many, I would love to fight for any of them.
Right on. Now, what is your point of view on, like, the UFC? I mean, like, I personally think the UFC is kind of just riding a hype train when it comes to women's MMA, and the second that they don't make a lot of money off Ronda, I feel like probably just going to dump the female fighters. Now, as a young female fighter, how do you view what the UFC is doing with women's MMA?
I think it's cool. I think it's interesting. It's cool how much she's done for the sport. And, you know, there are plenty of other girls that have very interesting fights. And I would, you know, I don't know if anyone can, at this time, can live up to, you know, what Ronda's done. Ronda and Misha too, though. And, you know, I think they should maybe start paying attention to the smaller weight classes. Like, you know, I fight at 115 and 125, and I think there's a lot of good girls. I think 115 would be a really interesting weight class for them to have. Instead of just sticking to this one weight class, and, you know, if it all fails, then that will suck for everyone else.
Yeah, definitely agree there. Listen, Jordan, thank you for joining us tonight. I want to give you an opportunity to give some shout-outs to your sponsors and where people can find you on social media before we let you go. So go ahead and do that.
All right. Right now, I don't have too many sponsors. Like to just give a shout out to everyone at the lab that has helped me out. Right now, I'm kind of, since I haven't been fighting, I don't really have the whole sponsor thing and all that. But, you know, the lab, and then also just everyone that still supports me. And you can follow me on Twitter at JNGaza92. And then just look up Jordan Nicole Gaza on Facebook and like my fan page. And that's it.
Awesome. Thank you very much for joining us, Jordan. I'm glad you could be part of the show tonight. We wanted to feature a lot of different female fighters and kind of get a good idea of the up-and-coming great. So appreciate you being on the show and looking forward to seeing some great things from you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you have a good night.
All right, bye.
All right, then. Great night of awesome guests. We definitely spread it out, got some cool guests from different areas here in the country. I think both Amber and Jordan are out of Texas, and of course both Cheyenne and Delaney are out of Florida here. So it was a great night of guests. Now we're pretty much just gonna sit and chill. I think maybe we'll play a song real quick. I don't know how they feel about that, but I'm gonna throw a song here real quick.
Well, you're the boss, Matthew.
You rule Cage Zombies Radio with an iron fist, so you just play the song.
All right, well, then, if I am in charge, then I got to go with some Power Man 5000, so here we go.
been thinking it's you who's got this all under control. Never a minute has passed you all by when they haven't.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
And that's the truth. Intimidation Clothing. I will be actually meeting Luke for the second time next week at UBC 26. Intimidation Clothing. You can get some shirts there. You can order them online. They are great shirts. And then, of course, Jax Media, as Matthew discussed earlier. Man, they make some sick stuff. So check that out. Check Intimidation Clothing out as well. This past weekend, UFC 166. Some are saying it's fight of the year. Some are saying it's not. There's a big argument over it. Gilbert Melendez versus Diego Sanchez. Unanimous decision for Melendez. What do you guys think?
I think Gilbert Melendez rearranged Diego Sanchez's face. But, yeah, I mean, it was a sick fight. But, I mean, yeah, I thought it was a fairly easy decision for Gilbert as well.
Absolutely. And I think Gilbert made it a fight. I think that it could have gone a lot differently, but he let it turn into the battle that it essentially was.
Yeah, definitely. I have to agree with that. And actually, Lapati made a good point on Twitter the other day as far as it being fight of the year. No, it was so one-sided that I couldn't possibly see it as fight of the year. That's in his words, kind of paraphrasing there. And I have to agree with that. It was a hell of a fight. It deserved fight of the night, definitely. But I don't believe it's fight of the year. You still have that Anthony Burchak versus Ryan Benoit and then Jones versus Gustafson. I'd say those two are at the top right now.
What about Hector Lombard straight destroying Nate Marquardt, man?
Oh, my gosh. Like, I totally didn't expect it, but those hammer fists at the end were wicked. Absolutely.
I expected it, man. I've been expecting that from Hector Lombard ever since he came to the UFC. He should have been doing it all along, but for whatever reason, he's He did not have a great entrance into the UFC, but this is the Hector Lombard that everyone talked about and that everyone was scared of, and that's exactly
absolutely
who Nate Marquardt got in the cage with. So,
well,
it's about time, man.
That was his welterweight debut, so that's a good way to
absolutely
debut in that division.
At 170,
yeah,
he is a beast and should be feared, 100%.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah,
how about that?
Go ahead.
I was switching points. Go ahead.
I was just going to say he's definitely way better than Thiago Silva could ever be.
Oh, my gosh. How disappointing was that Thiago Silva and Matt Hamill fight? I'm going to hop cards here real quick, but did you guys see that fight? I mean, to me, it was like both of these guys gas. It was just awful. And I know why you called out Thiago Silva, because you know that I'm a fan. You know that I'm a fan, but even as a fan,
I just didn't know Thiago Silva had. I didn't know Thiago Silva still had fans. I'm just like, I'm still trying to figure that out.
Well, I may be a Lone Ranger, but still, I'm a fan. Okay, I was wearing a Thiago Silva shirt last night, even after that awful performance that he put on against Matt Hamill. After not making weight and everything, it was awful. But
Why don't we jump back to 166?
Back to 166.
Entertaining fight. Jessica I, and formerly sponsored by Intimidation Clothing, got a big win against Sarah Kaufman.
Yes, she did. I'm going to be honest, man. I'm a little upset that it was by the split decision. I thought that she better controlled that fight. You know, it wasn't like a 30-27 across the board decision, but I really thought that she did more in that fight to deserve more than just a split decision victory.
I disagree with that. I think you know, Kaufman put up a hell of a fight, and I thought it was very closely matched, 100%. Like, I respect you 100%, you know that, but, like, to me, I think a split decision was the right call.
And then, of course, we have the John Dawson and Gabriel Gonzaga knockouts. Gonzaga got the TKO win at 133 of round one. Dawson got the more devastating KO at 4:15 of round one. What do you guys think of that Dawson knockout?
I expected it, and I thought it was great.
I'm going to be honest. What gets me, man, is Gabriel Gonzaga coming back after only fighting. I mean, prior to 2013, he had fought twice in the last 2 years. That's a lot of time off in this sport. There is no sport out there that evolves and changes more quickly than mixed martial arts. And for him to be able to come back after kind of being on the shelf, being inconsistent and not really being, you know, not being a significant fighter, and come back and put together, you know, like I said, of course, you know, Travis Brown KO'd him. But aside from that, you know, since he's returned to UFC, he's got 4 finishes out of 5 fights. So he's kind of on a surge right now. And I got to say, I don't know where it's coming from, because I had written Gabriel Gonzaga off and just kind of was like, all right, you know, I don't really care, you know, what he's doing. I don't care for his fights. But you know what? He's proven me wrong big time. He's coming out, you know, he KO'd Dave Herman. Now he's KO'd Sean Jordan. You know, he's got, you know, submissions over Arnaldo Oliveira and Ben Rothwell. So it's just, you know, he's on a tear right now. He's doing some good stuff, and it's kind of exciting to watch.
I agree with that. Like, I completely discounted him, this fight against Jordan. Like, I thought, you know, after Jordan's knockout went over Pat Barry, I'm like, you know, this is going to be easy. He's going to walk through Gonzaga, and, man, did he shock the shit out of me, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It was definitely a statement, and it was a great win for him. But getting to the two main fights on the card, Daniel Cormier and Cain Velasquez, of course, teammates, both getting wins. Cormier over Roy Nelson, and then Velasquez, of course, over Junior Dos Santos. What do you guys think? I was kind of disappointed in the Cormier-Nelson fight. I thought it would be a little bit more exciting than that. Of course, Cormier implemented his game plan.
Big time. Major
game fight. And then Velasquez,
I mean, like, let's
is,
be honest, like, I really didn't think that Nelson, Roy Nelson had a chance against Cormier. I'm a big Roy Nelson fan, love Roy Nelson. But let's be honest, I just, Cormier is too quick, too good, too smart. and there's no way he was losing to Roy Nelson. Now, on the other side of that, I'm really disappointed in Cormier for not attacking more and for kind of just eking out a win doing what he knew he could do rather than trying to get a good finish. I mean, why, you know, nobody's ever finished Roy Nelson in a cage. The only person to ever finish Roy Nelson in his entire career is Andrei Arlovsky, and that was back in Elite XC days. So, you know, it's been quite a while, and it's the only time it's ever happened. So why would you not, as exciting as a fighter as Cormier is, with the record that he's got, with the resume behind him, why not want to add that? Why not want to be like, you know what, I'm the first guy and only guy so far to finish Roy Nelson in the cage? And I feel like he just kind of, like, came out strong early and did what he needed to and did kind of just cruise to a victory. So it was a rather disappointing fight.
I was the same exact way. But, see, to me, I had given Nelson, like, the submission and striking advantages, you know. But I expected Cormier to do a lot more than he did. I was 100%, like, completely disappointed in that fight. Very disappointed in that fight.
And then, of course, Velasquez making Dos Santos look like Sloth from the Goonies. What do you guys think?
You got to give it to Dos Santos, though, to last to the fifth round after taking the beating that he took.
I got a text message from Spencer that night saying, right near the end of the first round, and the text message was pretty straight and to the point. My co-host here said, JDS round two TKO. And I'm like, all right, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You know, JDS has TKO'd Kane once before. So, you know what, we'll give him the opportunity to benefit of the doubt that he can do it again. But my co-host was a little bit wrong, and Kane did exactly what I thought he would do, and he beat him to hell and got a nice win there in the fifth.
He definitely did, but he had him. I think JDS had Kane rocked there in the first round. Not far into the first round, it seemed like Kane was a little hurt, and that had me a little nervous. But, you know, obviously Kane did exactly what I think most fans thought was going to be done. But I think Junior Dos Santos, if he could have caught him again in that first round, might have had a better chance of winning.
And you know what, Matthew? To respond to your calling me out on that decision, I like to live life on the edge. You know, I called a – I'll keep bringing this up until it happens. I called Teixeira being the next light heavyweight champion back, a year ago, a year and a half ago?
He's not the champion yet, but
you win some, you lose some. He's in the position for it. You win some, you lose some.
We'll see, buddy. I honestly
Glover Teixeira.
I don't care who takes the belt from John Jones. I just want somebody to take the belt from John Jones and us move on from this. That's all. I'm sick of
you.
I'm ready to just be done with him.
I hear ya.
All right, Matthew. You have World Series of Fighting 6 coming up. And
I will say this, though.
You talk a little bit about it.
To sum up UFC 166 real quick, it was by far their best fight card in quite some time. I honestly hadn't even tuned in to some of the fight cards recently. They've just been nothing. There hasn't been anything exciting. The last fight card I truly watched was Anderson and Weidman. Since then, I just really haven't. You know, I've caught some of the fights here or there. I've watched replays of the fights, but honestly, man, the UFC has just kind of been putting together some stinkers lately. And there's just so much better MMA on the local scene. You know, I'd rather look forward to watching an XFC event once in a couple of months than what the UFC's been putting on lately. So, you know, it was good to see a good fight card. You know, as an MMA fan, you know, obviously here we're cage zombies and we're not Zuffa zombies, but as an MMA fan, you got to love the UFC. And it just was nice to finally see them put on a stellar card. And there was a couple fights, obviously, that were kind of bore fest, but overall it was quite a phenomenal night of fights, and I'm glad to see that they put on a great night of fights, and they've got another big one coming up here this Saturday. Actually, it's the UFC fight night with Machida and Munoz, so look to be possibly another good fight card. Obviously, I really hope Melvin Gallar gets knocked out. He just annoys the living hell out of me, and can't stand the guy. But anyways, that's pretty much enough Zuffa time on here. So yeah, let's move on. World Series of Fighting 6 this weekend, Miami, Florida. I'm actually headed out to Miami tomorrow morning. Me and my girl are going to head out there a night early, just kind of relax, and then spend most as early as they allow me to get to the arena on Saturday. I will be there, and I will probably spend the majority of the day hanging out. But so we got right on the prelims, you got Miguel Angel Torres versus Pablo Alfonso. Looking forward to see a big fight from Miguel. Miguel is obviously a freaking legend. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to possibly getting to see him again. I got to meet him a few months back, so it'd be cool to maybe get to talk to him after he gets a big win. You got Dan Lozon versus Justin Gant. Lozon, obviously, you know, Joe Lozon's brother. Looking forward to seeing a big fight from Dan. And I'm not going to lie, kind of looking forward to meeting Joe Lozon. So hopefully he's in the house. But I'm really excited for the John Fitch fight. Big John Fitch fan, although John Fitch as of late hasn't been phenomenal, obviously, but Johnny Hendricks kind of knocked him into a different world. But so, and then the main event, Steve Carl, Josh Berkman, just going to be a phenomenal night of fights all around. Looking forward to it. It's a big, you know, World Series of Fighting in a short amount of time has been able to put together really good fights, sign some big-time names, and they're putting on top-notch events. So looking forward to being out there and getting to see some really cool fights go down down in Coral Gables Saturday night. So should be exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
I definitely hope that you have a good time. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the exact same thing. Have a good time. No, I really wasn't going to say that part, but I'll be watching on TV.
Yeah. I will be, you know, I think the hardest decision for me, because it's obviously a nationally televised event and, you know, a decent amount of people turn into the World Series of Fighting, I'm kind of having, like, hashtag girl problems right now. I just don't know what intimidation shirt I should be sporting because I want to make sure I want to make sure that if the camera happens to, like, pan by me and, like, there's, like, a five-second shot of me on camera, I want to make sure that I put on the right intimidation shirt so that people are like, oh, my gosh, look at that guy. That guy is obviously a world-class badass. And look at that shirt he's wearing. Oh, my gosh, I want to wear that shirt. And then all of a sudden Luke's going to get millions and millions and billions of calls saying, we saw this guy in the World Series of Fighting wearing your shirt, and he obviously looked like the greatest person of all time, so we want to buy your shirt too. So that's the plan here. So.
I'll screenshot it just like I did for that XFC event I saw you at.
Right on. That was awesome. They had us seated right next. Me and Jason covered that. They had us seated right next to where the fighters walked out. So, yeah, when the camera panned over and we're watching the fighters walking out, me and Jason were right there. That was pretty cool. The key there, though, was because we were on TV, they had the XFC dancers right next to us. So I was doing my best to just keep my eyes forward on the fights all night because the last thing I need would have been my girlfriend happened to see it on TV and I'm sitting there staring at one of the XFC dancers. So they definitely tested my will and determination that night.
I'll have you guys listen to the show.
But anyway, so here we go. We're about wrapping up here for the night.
I got one thing for you, Matthew.
Go ahead,
The RFA 10 tomorrow night was one of the only other events we didn't mention tonight. Alan Jabouin versus Mike Rose, and then the co-main event, Justin Lawrence versus Luis Saldana. That's on Access TV. That's one of the only fight cards we haven't mentioned so far. And then also there's another UFC event, UFC Fight Night 30, Machida versus Munoz. Not the best fight card, but tune in to those RFA Bellator events, and then if you have time later, check out the UFC Fight Night 30. Melvin Gillard versus Pearson's
Set the DVR. Tonight. Set the DVR for the UFC and watch the other ones live. That's what I say. I gotta say that real quick. I know you guys talked about Bellator earlier in the evening, but man, how about that Eric Prendel Graham fight there on that belt? The opening fight on the Bellator card, man. What a brawl those two! And that freaking upkick to the face to end the fight, man. Five more seconds on the clock, and Graham would have finished Prendel after that kick. So. That was a pretty awesome fight. Both of those guys need to go back and work on some cardio.
Yeah,
in a major way.
That was the only thing I was disappointed in. If the two would have had cardio, it would have been a hell of a fight. You were backstage getting somebody on the phone. I told Kari I was kind of disappointed in the event as a whole, especially with War Machine losing. But, yeah, that Eric Prindle and Graham fight was pretty good. The ending was probably the best part, though.
Yeah. All right, well, that is pretty much going to wrap it up for us. Kari, thank you much for very much for joining us tonight. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
You spoke like 10 times more than Spencer did tonight, so I don't know if maybe he's just intimidated. I think he's intimidated by the female fighter, so I think he's got crushes on him or something, so I don't know, man. But anyway,
I can see why we had some beauties on tonight, man, a bunch of gorgeous fighters.
I'm a little intimidated myself. Well said. Well said. All right, well, that is pretty much it for us. We will be back. Oh, we will not be back next week. Next week is Halloween, so we will be out scaring little children and throwing rocks at them. So, anyway, we'll be back the following week where we will pick back up with our weekly XFC interviews. At this moment, we also have Ross Kellen. That'll be a really exciting interview. Ross Kellen owns Copa America Grappling Championships and the newly founded Rival Fight League out of Lakeland, Florida. So if it's Florida MMA, Ross Kellen is involved. So looking forward to that awesome interview, as well as other guests, as always. So we do our best to bring some great MMA talk here. We thank each one of our guests for joining us tonight, all of our phenomenal sponsors, MMAMadhouse.com, Let Champion Struggle, support local MMA. Get out there. Find your local scene. They are out there, whether or not you think they are or not. It's out there. So get out there and find your local scene of MMA, support it, and help out fighters. So that is it for us. We will be back here in 2 weeks. So have a happy Halloween. Be safe, and stay away from creepers.
Down me. Okay, people, time to disperse. Party's over.